And I'm going to unmute everybody. Just say hi. Hey, everybody.
Hello.
Hey there.
Hi.
Hey.
Hi, Reese.
Hey, everybody. Happy summer.
Hey, hi.
All right.
Happy summer.
All right, so I'm putting you back on mute. And if you want to raise your hand, ask a question, it's star two. And if you're on the webinar instead, you can type in Q&A questions. Let me just see if anybody's got one in there already. No Q&A questions yet. So if as we go along, you have questions on your charts, which is really, you know, what this is about, and really sort of stepping into the world of the archetypes, which is what we want to get into here tonight. You know, definitely ask questions about archetypes that you think are in your chart, or you have questions about any of that. On this call, we have both second year and third year students. So sometimes, you know, third year students are of course going to have a chart already with archetypes in it, and they'll have they might be asking more advanced questions. But those can be good. You know, for the second years, they're like, whoa, what's an archetype? How do we do this? So let's get started here. First of all, this is our first of our teleclasses and of the summer. And I hopefully you all listened to the intro, the Chakra 1, Chakra 2, and Chakra 3 of those audios. I listen to them every year. And of course, they remotivate me every time I listen to them to go back to my chart and tweak things and move things around and not necessarily move things around at this point, but really sort of hone down, you know, to the vow, the freedom statements, you know, what are they really, you know, what's the real truth? What is it? How do you get it even more true so that when you read it, you just go, ah, yeah, that's it. That's what I've always been. That's who I really am. That's me. Cause that's really what these charts are about, as you go deeper into them. And so let me just, start with the chart itself. So, on your, you know, reminder, they had it on there, but it's also on your, it should also be on your student page. But, there's a, the Enlightenment chart, which you all have from the first year and, or second year. And the chart for the first year, of course, just has your primary profile, most used defense, the vow, the freedom statement, and the excessive and deficient quality. In the second year, you have the primary profile, but you also have your secondary profile in each chakra. So we're not going to be getting into that tonight, but as you are as you're working through your chakras, you start recognizing that often what you thought was your secondary profile often was actually just a defense. It was just a defensive way of, you know, like the way, so I lived in rule keeper defense, but didn't, but don't have a whole lot of knowledgeable achiever. Mostly it's creative idealist. But I would have, because of all my rule keeper types of behavior, you know, I would say, well, that's probably my secondary. But really, if you look at my secondary, it's really charismatic leader, and the knowledgeable achiever is just a little bit more of the creative idealist element of that. So your secondary profile in each chakra helps you sort of see, yeah, in my family, I definitely, you know, have this. So in my emotions in the second chakra, I have more emotional intelligence specialist in there. Or maybe I've got more rule keeper in there. Or maybe, you know, knowledgeable achiever, you know, the way I hold that chakra. So it gives you a deeper sort of foundation for, like, so rather than just having your primary profile, you also have your secondary in that energy center as you're going to understand that more. And then in the second year also, you have the archetypes, which we're going to be talking about now, and you'll also be dealing over the course of the year with lower self and higher self qualities in there. In the third year, those of you that are third years, you are moving into adding into your chart. So you've gotten your primary profile, secondary profile, archetype, lower self and higher self qualities, which are the energies that those archetypes and your profile run on, as well as your vow and freedom statement, which I still feel are the two toughest things to get on your chart. The archetypes are hard, but the toughest thing to get totally right is really the vow statement and the freedom statement. Because when you get that freedom statement right, that will be your soul quality in there. That will be the archetype. So you definitely want to keep going back to your vows and freedom statements and working with them and being direct with yourself with those. Really feel that. Go as deep as you can. In the third year, you go even deeper into what we call negative pleasures, where we, what do we do? How do we live in these, in our secondary profile, or in somebody else's profile, or in our vows? How do we use our vows as ways to avoid our lives? And we do it often it seems like, like fun. So third years have negative pleasures, and then as we're talking about your in the third year, we really are going into your big why you're really here. How does this chakra? How does it hold its piece of the 12 things that I do to live my highest purpose? And then we do in the third year. We do it. Last couple of years, we've been doing the What Do You Want meditation for the entire school. And in the third year, we spend a lot of time with that meditation because that's really where you reprogram your chakras. And so each weekend we go through what do you really want in each of these chakras from your mother and your father or from whoever, because that's what you really want in that chakra is what you really want in that chakra. It didn't change. When you realize that what you wanted when you were born and what you want now is the exact same thing, and so that's an important element, and then finally the fun one, which is where sort of the walking out the door, having to acknowledge that there are things that you don't have chakras for, and things that you've always wanted to have chakras for. I always wanted to be doing martial arts, I always wanted to be a tough guy. I always wanted to have that, sort of like strong man, tough, not sensitive, not, so I always wanted that. And I don't have a chakra for that. I'm a lover. I don't have, I have a chakra for athletics, for competition, for playing, for that stuff. But never that sort of hard, sort of charismatic leader, go for the jugular kind of thing. Just never was there. So letting go of that completely years and years ago was huge. It's like letting go of that at the end. So we're going to mostly talk about archetypes because those are, incredibly powerful, elements for both the second and third year to get those right. Because in the third year, you take the archetypes, the very general archetypes that you got in the second year, where you're putting 12 archetypes in your 12 energy centers, the 7 chakras and the 5 spiritual centers. You're going to put an archetype in each one of those. The third year, you're going to rename those archetypes, and you're going to rename them specifically for. For you, how does that, let's say you're a, you have healers, say, in one of your chakras, and but you heal through your humor, and so that healer becomes a wise ass. So you're not saying, oh, I'm the healer archetype. It's just like, no. The truth is that I heal through being a wise ass. So I heal through, through being a jester, through being, funny, comedian is in there. So you have to really drill down further in the third year, like what archetype is, that's the big archetype, but what's yours? What's the piece of it that's yours with that? Okay. All right. So, let's just start with, let me just open to, let me see if there's any Q&A. Nobody's put a question in there yet. Let's just open before we get into, just talking about archetypes and then looking at, what might be in your first three chakras. Let me just open it up to any questions that people have. So star two, raise your hand if you have a question, and type in on the Q&A if you have a question. Anything that came up from listening to the audio, and I'll certainly be taking questions, about your specific sort of questions. Well, what about this archetype or that archetype type of thing? I'd love to get into that sort of stuff too. So let's just start. So it looks like we got Raphael in here. Hey, Raphael.
Hi, Reese. Hi, everybody.
Hey, happy summer.
Happy summer. I keep getting the same archetype cards coming up every, like, they repeat, like, in cycles. I've been doing them for a few weeks now. And
yep.
I'm just getting the same, I'm getting, like, prairie dog and, just the same ones, frog, and just they just keep recycling. And I'm wondering, mm-hmm. is there a way that I can now, start to use that as some sort of guidance to plug into this?
Absolutely. So, I mean, I've been doing cards now, God, I don't know how many years, 10, 15 years, whatever. I've been pulling cards often, multiple times a week at least, sometimes every day, depending upon where I have them. If I have them right on my bureau, I do them every when I wake up, and then sometimes I'll even do them again at the end of the day. The cards are great. But yeah, of course, you have very specific energies. And so, for me, I'd say there's like 10, maybe less, maybe like 5 or 6 cards in each deck that over 15 years that come up 90% of the time. And then there's the oddball cards that come up because there's just something odd happening in my life that needs to be addressed, needs to be looked at. So, the ones that come up regularly are the ones that you want to read more about, feel into it and say, well, what's the piece of that for me and how does that work? And, I get the Prince and the Knight in every deck, every card, everywhere, all constantly. And whether it be the tarot deck or the archetype cards. But whatever you've got, try to start, blending them and saying, okay, well, why? What's the prairie dog? What's the prairie dog's quality that you resonate with? And then what was the other one that you said? Raphael?
I'm getting frog a lot. So it's weasel, frog, and prairie dog.
Okay. All right. So frogs are incredibly sensitive. They breathe through their skin, right? So they're really sensitive. And they are also a very powerful shaman type of energy. The prairie dog, I think I mean, you have to read about it. I mean, there's a lot in those books. But the prairie dog, I think, is really good at having more than one escape route, right? So, the weasel is very sort of like, it isn't specifically the kind of weaselly energy that it's not bad energy, but it's like, weasel can kind of sneak around and get information and can be unseen, weasels are cool animals. They've got a lot of, they're very, they can fit through almost anything. They can, there's lots of stuff, so you want to sort of see how do you embody those and why are they calling you to see that about yourself right now? And then notice, do they stay with you from then on? All right?
Yes. Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Yes.
All right. All right. Anybody else? Hand up. No other hands up. Okay. So I'm happy to answer any questions, but if not, we're going to keep moving here. So for those that are second years coming in and are just sort of like, whoa, what's an archetype? You've listened to the first couple audios. Hopefully you're listening to Carolyn Mace's Language of the Archetypes. That's just where you start with that. Those who like to read a book, the Sacred Contracts is also a good reference guide for that. And probably the easiest thing for you to do, which I have a copy of it right here, is to print out the handout that we gave you called Picking Your 12 Major Archetypes, Placing Them in your Chakra Gateways, or in your gateway chart. And so those talk about the survival archetypes, and I still have yet to, hopefully by the fall, I will update these. But basically they talk about the child, the saboteur, the prostitute, and the victim, which are the big archetypes that you have. And we actually last year we started talking about them. As the child is really the loving your life sort of energy center, and the saboteur, which is where you sort of like where you get all your power, that is your sense of purpose or your gift to the world archetype, and then the prostitute is both your self-respect and how you negotiate, and then the victim tends to be how you transcend or how you do the epic forgiveness we're talking about. So these are big, big archetypes for you, and we can talk about those, a little bit tonight. But the main element in there is that this sort of talks about what does it look like, what does it look like to have certain energies in each of the chakras. So as you sort of go through that sheet and sort of think about, so what would the child be like in the first chakra, or what would a victim be like in there? Those also apply to in all of those chakras. They would apply to all of your to all of the archetypes. As you're deciding where an archetype fits, those qualities, the family, what type of an archetype you have in the family, what type of an archetype would you have around your emotions and your feelings and your identity. So each of those that can help a lot. And I think the most important part of that handout is in the back, underneath each of the last few pages, there are a list of a pretty good sized list of archetypes that are typical of different profiles. And you probably will have a number of those that you will relate to depending upon your profile. So sometimes people are like, well, I don't know which architect, where to even start. And so you can go right to that sheet and just start circling on there archetypal elements. And archetypes are these sort of universal human qualities. And they can either be animal as well, the weasel and things like that. You can have those as archetypes. But when we talk about the quality of the weasel, we're not talking about its animal quality. We're talking about how it behaves like a human being. That's the only way we can do these things. So if you're going through the back of that handout, the picking your 12 major archetypes handout, for instance, under team player, there's the accommodator, the advisor, the advocate, the amateur, the ambassador, the apprentice, the beggar, the boy scout. So you can see that those are very team player-y kind of things. The charismatic leader is the activist, the actor, the actress, the addict, the Adonis, the adventurer, the advocate. These are all obviously in alphabetical order. The emotional intelligence specialist, the addict, the actor, the actress, the angel, the apprentice, the artisan, the artist, the beggar, and then knowledgeable achiever, the adept, the advisor, the alchemist, the ambassador, the analyst. So there's obviously some that carry over and of course they'll have, different ones. They will be, they'll fit based on the profile. And then where do you deliver that? So you can just start you can get your Carol and Mace cards and kind of pull out of there. You go to this sheet here and you can get there are many of these that are not in the Carol and Mace deck. That's why I gave you this as well. And you can just go right to the back of that handout and you can start circling, and don't necessarily just go right to your profile. You certainly want to go there first, but then just go through all of them and just say, hey, I definitely do this one. This is a big one for me. It's a big archetype for me. So that's the first step. And, it's just to kind of, get your 12. And really, if you're in the second year, my recommendation is that you probably get at least, on first pass, get at least, say 18 or 20 archetypes that you, write them down, put them on your chart, or have them written somewhere. Because at the end of the year, after you've done a whole year's work with all the teachers on your archetypes, I'm going to do a one last pass with you. And often I will ask you for all the ones that didn't make your chart. So if you had 20 in there, and of course there's only 12 that go in the chart, you may have 8 or 10 that you didn't pick. And those help me a lot, in sort of having more options and having you see that, maybe two or three of the ones that you have in there are actually the same one and how to put others in your chart. So let's just sort of get started, into what are the archetypes and why is this chart so key. And, and as you can see that, each year when we talked about the chart, it evolves, it gets deeper and deeper. And why do we want you to pick an archetype, and put it in your chart? And just like picking your primary profile, each of you at some point have to make a commitment to something, make a choice in your life. I think that it's important to understand, and you all understand how vows work. They shut down the chakra, not from the perspective of the chakra isn't functioning. It's that they shut down your ability to feel that chakra. And whenever you shut down your ability to feel, you shut down your ability to make choices in your life. Because those vows, when they shut down the chakra, they say, I will always or I will never. And you don't have an option there. When you are making that choice, when you're saying, well, what am I supposed to do in this family situation? What am I supposed to, how am I supposed to react to this? How am I supposed to feel about this? How am I supposed to take action in this area? What kind of relationship? How do I find balance in my relationships? You can't do any of those things as long as the vows are still making you choices for you, because those choices are knee-jerk automatic responses. And so having commitment to your chart, just saying, okay, I'm definitely, you know, so some of you in the second year coming in may still be sort of struggling, so maybe some of your third year is still struggling with your profile, which one it is. You have to, you know, when you're having trouble in any of these chakras, figuring out what goes in there or in any of these dimensions of your life. And keep in mind that all 12 of these energy centers, especially the 7 chakras, are the dimensions of your life. And every one of them needs choice making. You know, how do you decide about how to feed your body? How to be present in any moment of time in your life? How's the universe asking you to be present as who you are in the world, the first chakra? You know, how are you here to express your feelings now, in this moment, not the way I vowed to always express my feelings. I'm always going to be up. I'm always going to be happy. I'm always going to be enthusiastic. It's like that's the lie. That's the fake person. You literally are these 12 energy centers are emerging brand new with the exact same theme. They all have the same theme every time, but they're not doing anything the same as before. So decisions, you can never have figured it out. And the problem is when you try to make any decision in your life from your brain is really the compilation of all your vows, right? So it can never make a new choice. Your brain has never made a new choice. It's never made a choice that's ever made you happy. Your brain can't do it. The only thing that can make a real choice for you are your feelings. So this is a really important understanding. The reason that we then have you fill out your chart is because it makes you pay attention to whether you're right or not. And the only way to find out if you're right or not is to feel how that dimension of your life is calling you to make a choice. And if you automatically made a choice, because it's just the way I always do that, I always drive this way, I always do that, I always, you know, get upset with somebody when they tell me what to do, or, you know, whatever it is, whatever the thing is, it's like, that was a moment that you gave up all control of your life. Your vows have given you, you think that they're giving you control. Your sense of, well, I'm a, for me, I thought for sure I was a knowledgeable achiever. When I went to, you know, when I went to energy school, we didn't do charts or any of this stuff. This was just, this was all stuff that I sort of realized as I was going along. They just allowed you to be any profile you wanted to be that day. It was, you know, and like, no, that's not going to help anybody. But once you started committing, once I started committing to sort of like, okay, I'm an eligible achiever, then I had to look at every part of my life. I had to look at my body. I had to look at my family. I had to look at how people treat me, how I create family. Do I create family like a knowledgeable achiever? Do I create work relationships like a knowledgeable achiever? You know, what is that? Do I have emotions like a knowledgeable achiever? Do I have passion, enthusiasm, and drive, you know, and energy like a knowledgeable achiever in the second chakra? What types of things in my life do I do that's like knowledgeable achieving and competition wise and self, you know, and self competition? So I had to ask myself and pretty, I didn't have to get through many chakras to realize, you know, that's not really who I am. That would not be the essential decision maker in my life. That is not going to be the master of my chakras. You know, whereas when I started looking at the creative idealist, I was like, oh, you know, so looking at each of your energy centers, the reason that we have you do these things, the reason now we're taking you to the totally to the next level, which are the archetypes, and then for the third year is even going more into like renaming those archetypes so that you can, say, is that true? Because when you pick an archetype, let's say you pick, let's say you pick the lover. If you have a lover in a chakra, okay, and let's say you put your lover in your second chakra, right? So you have a lover in second chakra. 15 times today, you seduce somebody, right? 15 times. If you got lover in the second chakra, it came up that many times today, because that archetype, if you are right. You know, it's just like, let's say it's, you know, let's take it back to the big profile, okay? Let's say which kind of lover you are. Let's say you're an emotional intelligence specialist lover, okay? If that lover is in the second chakra, 15 times today, you cried for the heart of another person, right? You were just like, oh, I love you. And you've loved so much that it hurt, right? That you just felt overwhelmed by that 15 times today. If you're a charismatic leader lover in the second chakra, it has more to do with more like the Don Juan and the depth. And that would be the same. So the key with this chart is that, one, you have to put something in it, and whether it's your archetype or your profile or your lower self energy, your higher self energy, any of those boxes that get filled in there, the excessive and the deficient, the whole goal of it is to force you to pay attention to your feelings and your motivations and how you actually make the decisions in your life. And you need to know the difference between a decision made by a vow and a decision made by a feeling that emerged from the universe, from your soul, through an open chakra. Okay? And that's really, that's really so important here. And when we're talking about, so the primary archetype that you have is your profile. And the secondary profile that you have is probably your secondary archetype. And those two tend to dance back and forth. But you also have, this year in the second year, you're going to be picking your, you may have, if you've got a strong, like for me, I've got a strong secondary charismatic leader. That's in most of my chakras. But in my second chakra, I've got my emotional intelligence specialist. And in my heart chakra, I have my team player, but I don't have a whole lot of those, very, very many places. But they are the secondaries, they're strong secondaries in those chakras. So those also help me, so to say. And then I have to look at all of my relationships I've ever had, because this isn't these things, these archetypal levels. And I talk about your profiles as being your primary archetypes. These next levels of archetypes within you are, they are just as important for you to acknowledge and see in every part of your life, ever since you were born. And if you're not, it's like, well, I used to do that, but I don't do it anymore. It's not your archetype. It's not your profile. You've got to get to that place because from that consciousness, from that place of knowing yourself, comes the ability to make choices that aren't automatic. See, if I really know who I am by feel, I will never have to pre-plan what choice I'm going to make in my life. The only reason I have to make up my mind, I'm going to say this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, is because I have no freaking idea who I am. And I have to make a stand somehow and try to prove to the world that I know who I am. Real choices are made in the moment, and they're made from your heart, from your soul, from this sort of sense of, how could I have made this choice beforehand? How could I have always done this or never done that. In a situation, in a universe that's never been the same twice. And so this is why this is so important for you. Because if you're going to choose the right partner, if you're going to choose the right work to do, if you're going to understand and ever get to where we deliver, where you figure out your only deliverable, your big why, okay, which is hopefully for the third year is what we're going to get you to by the end of the year, and it's going to be awesome because I get everybody there. We get you there. You know, how do you take care of your body? How do you take care of your life? What is it that really drives you? And when people say, well, I just changed in my life, you know, I'm constantly changing, I'm constantly doing this, it's not true. You don't really change at all. What happens is often that you sort of, you know, one set of vows, you never really worked them through to what the real core of them are. And so you kind of get tired of them, and then you vow against your vow. It's like, well, I'll always do this now, or I'll never do that again, or I'll, you know. And, that deeper knowing within you is really about choice making. And so I just want you to really let that in. If you have any problems making choices in your life and find that you do a lot of sabotaging in your life, around not being able to move where you want to move, be where you want to be, be with the people you want to be with, things like that. This is the work. This is why we do this work. Because your healership in your life is to be able to deliver the one thing you're here to deliver. And you can do it in every possible situation. Anytime you play smaller or go with a vow, to always be good or always be whatever it is that you're being, or always be tough or always never give a damn or whatever that is, you've just missed an opportunity to be this healing agent in the world, this transformational agent in the world, which is someone who is living fully and feeling the choice, the impossibility of every choice you have to make, and yet the guidance that leads to a sort of like, I know it in my soul. I know it in my heart that this is what I'm supposed to do now. And it may lead to more pain and suffering, because that was what you needed. You needed that and then it needed to get to the next level. So, but you embrace all of your choices rather than looking at every choice, bad choice you've made and saying, well, I can't make that choice again. I'll never do that again. Or I'll never do this again. It's like, feel it and choose. So just wanted establish that is that all the work we're doing in the program is becoming a healer. And a healer is not necessarily, as I sent out in the video, I hope you all watched that video. That's some cool stuff. I've been writing about that. And I'll be posting some more stuff about how we teach healing in the school and what that's all about. But, there's not many people that are born to be like the shaman type of healer. That nobody would choose that life. That's like a tortured life. And yet healing has become this sort of like lifestyle business that we can decide to do. It's like, hey, I'll be a healer. Screw corporate, I'll be a healer. Rather than what you're called to. But this program is about using healing work to discover that maybe you are supposed to be doing table work, but maybe not like a shaman would do it. Maybe more like an inspirational person. Maybe you get them on the table and that just slows them down enough so you can talk to them because you talk people into things or your big heart helps them or whatever it is. So finding that healing quality within you and finding all of those archetypes and profiles and things within you that are blended together to do that. That's what this is really about. Okay. So, anytime you have questions, let me just check the Q&A, see if anybody sent a question in. Oh, there we go. All right. So Betty Ann, hey, Betty Ann says, hey, Reese, happy summer. Fun to you. Chakra one question. I was born not being able to breathe, chronic asthma. Would this affect my chakras without my knowledge due to being an infant? Let's see, and then she had a second question that says, same question. Okay, so the question is would this affect my chakras without my knowledge? Well, anything that you're born with, you're not thinking when you're born. You're just one big ball of feelings. And what you're feeling is, you know, is who you really are. So now coming into the world with asthma, which is a heart chakra issue, and it is a sort of like a smothering kind of an energy, right? You're constricting. There's like you can't breathe. You can't let in enough of the joy of life, and so it's very possible. And the things that you came into the world with, you know, right as you're born, you come in, you get something. It's sort of the 2x4 to the head when you come out. It's like you're in your mother's womb, and maybe you've already realized by listening to your mom talk that, you know, these are not sane people. You know, and you're already getting nervous before you even come out, but most of the time you're in that little cocoon and, you know, the soul is starting to interact with your brain and starting to blend and trying to take over the little baby's brain and works with that. But when you come out and the reality of coming back into the world, and being in a body and starting life over again, and then looking up and seeing these insane people that are your parents or the energies they have or what they're hiding sometimes parents are, they have postpartum depression or they've lost a previous child, or there's all sorts of reasons why a mother may not be able to be loving and open and somehow that asthma is the metaphor for the way your first chakra was getting programmed. There's not going to be enough love in the world. There's not going to be enough caring. You're going to get crushed. You're not going to be able to take a full breath in your life that way. And there's going to be a vow around that. And often when it's a heart chakra wound, it's just like, I'm just not going to need it. I'm not going to need the love. I'm not going to need that. I'm not going to get it. I'm not going to need it. And we talk about, that. So that program for sure, that not only programmed was a big element around the heart chakra. If you had that, in there, but it was programming sort of like the way the world is, right? You come into the world and that's the way the world is. Your first chakra is doing everything it can to create a space for you in the world, right? And so now, and you come into the world and the world is a world you can't even breathe in. There's no space for you to breathe. You know, was it possible that, you know, when you're in a room with your parents, they suck all the air out of the room? You know, and this is where the metaphor, and this is why we're doing archetypes, we're doing profiles. Profiles teach you that everything in your life, your spiritual journey is a metaphor. It's like when you see in the archetypal energy in these things, that's why we teach you, we give you that chart about what all of these different ailments are for, and you know what they represent, what they're doing, what's their energy within them, and working with the Louise Hay work or Deb Shapiro, those different books on any ailment that you have really reflects a very specific issue in your life. And because you aren't capable of looking at it because of your vows and your blindness in that chakra, it has to come to you through the pain and suffering, and the pain and suffering makes you pay attention to it. So that coming into the world like that, you know, how was that? And then And then if you had parents that sucked all the air out of a room, you couldn't, there was nothing to breathe in, was that something that you just vowed to make okay? You know, and you allowed other people to continue to do that in your life. And yet, you know, maybe, just maybe, Betty Ann, we talked about your charismatic leader, you're here to be that light in the room. You're here to be that humor and that breathing in the joy of life. And when you do that, that's going to be a healing. That when you heal that within you, and this is what you got to get, that whatever you've healed in yourself is what, you know, is really the thing that that opens that doorway to your chakras, opens the door to your soul, and that comes out. And when you model that for other people, you allow them to heal at the same level, not the same thing necessarily, but at the same level, that thing that owns them. So let me. Okay. Okay, so she was 6 out of 7, 6 out of 7 with 2 miscarriages. So there were a lot of people breathing in that room. And your mom probably, had issues, with that 2 miscarriages and all those kids. So there was no room for you. All right, so Jonathan. Hey, Jonathan. Can you review how archetypes in the 3 chakra levels interact? I remember something about the soul point archetype being related to 2 of the purpose chakras, which in turn are related to several of the physical level chakra archetypes. Okay. All right, everybody, you can write this down. The physical life purpose point manages chakras 1 and 2. The spiritual life purpose point, so this is, and for second years, this will just write it down, and then as we go through this, it'll make more sense. The spiritual life purpose point. So the physical life purpose point represents like your point of existence in the universe, and the reason that the universe needs you to be here, of course, creates your body and your energy, right? So that's chakras 1 and 2. Your spiritual life purpose point is like the closest thing you have to your career, your job. It's like that's your spiritual life purpose point is like this highest purpose for how you're going to use that physical life purpose point, the body and your emotions. And so that then will manage directly your actions in your life. So the 3rd chakra. So the spiritual life purpose point relates to the 3rd chakra. The aha point or the awakening point is going to be the point where you pull together both your physical purpose and your spiritual purpose, and you get it, and it's the aha moment. You're like, great. And of course, the only thing you're supposed to do when you have some sort of an epiphany is tell everybody about it. The only decent thing you've ever said is something that you have no idea what you're talking about. You're just experiencing it as it's coming out of your mouth. You are, it's like the crystal ball's playing. You're like, I don't know, I'm feeling this. It's like happening. That makes a difference in the world. What you think makes almost no difference in the world at all. What you feel, that makes a difference in the world. So that passion of the aha point, that realization is what comes out your 5th chakra. So that energy center manages the 5th chakra. And so when you're getting archetypes in those, the biggest archetypes are going to be in the spiritual centers because they run the secondary archetypes in the chakras. The inner light point, which is the point where you perceive the soul in the world and life and the life in things, that's going to manage the vision, 6th chakra, and 7th chakra, the awakening. So like the brilliance, the light, literally the light comes in through those things and lets you see, perceive, in a physical way, God in the world. And so that's the inner light point manages chakra 6 and 7. And the only chakra left is the heart chakra, and that's the soul. And so the soul energy and the soul chakra, the soul archetype, will match with and support the heart chakra. So those are the basics, right? So if you're, you know, as you are and people coming into the second year, we didn't spend a lot of time with the spiritual centers, but we'll be getting a lot more this year, especially because you're going to be putting archetypes in there and really sort of going in deeper into these. That answers Jonathan's question there. And that was a good one. Let's see. Okay, so we got a few more hands up. And we've got, I just unmuted Providence, 6039.
Oh, that's me, Jody.
Oh, hey, Jody.
Hi, Reese. So,
hey.
I'm just seeing if I'm figuring this out in somewhat of a correct way. So I have the playmate and the first chakra, and right now I'm dealing with a huge family event. So my brother didn't make it, you know, something that is very simple. So I was like, oh, my God, it's not that hard. This is not that serious. But instead of coming from my core, I came from my charismatic leader, and I screamed at him on the phone. And he hung up on me.
Okay.
All right. This is not a playful situation, but you know, I don't know. That's that family
it is.
Vibe
if,
thing.
If it's a family event, okay, totally first chakra. I mean, it could be the heart chakra too. And of course, all the chakras are involved in these things. But you want to look at it from that perspective. If you really have the playmate in the first chakra, as we work on these, you know, playmate might also, I don't know, what do you have in your physical life purpose point?
I don't want to take up too much time. Physical life purpose.
No, you're good.
All right. Fairy.
Fairy. Okay. So playmate, fairy. This is why, and this is, but for those that are just looking at their archetypes right now, this is actually how you use your chart. You have a family thing coming up. And your defenses, which they leaped right out because the way you treated your brother is the way you've always treated your brother, and the anger at your brother for not being, you know, whatever he was. You can look at your chart and say, okay, I don't have an option. My fairy and my playmate have to connect in this way. Okay. So what's this family event that you have to work on with your brother?
My mom passed away. I got a phone call on Monday that she had passed.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, thank you.
That's a major event. And for everybody on the line here, if your mom passes away, you know you can reach out to me, right? And just say, I just want to run something by you, how I'm managing this, how I'm doing this, what's going on. Because that's a big baton that gets passed, and that's a big thing. So
I figured I'd call you on my way back from Arizona because it's a long drive.
Okay. All right, good. Well, good. We can talk about it then. But I'm glad you called because this is so this is a major, like this is big, right? Because family, everybody's going to react to this differently. Everybody's going to have these things, and you can look at your chart and see how you're going to react. And then you're going to look at your chart and see how you're here to heal this situation. And And so the shadow side of your fairy is that you probably cast a spell on somebody. But the shadow side of the playmate is, I'm not going to play with you. I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. So that's the charismatic leader playmate, right? They're like, I play as long as I'm winning, and as soon as I don't get to win, I'm out of here. And so that was when you yelled at your brother.
Yeah.
So he wants to play a different game. The playmate plays. There's a game we play. It's called life. And it's not just like it may not be for him this, he may not be able to, sort of see the importance of the light heart like you do. But your light heart can play the game he wants to play, which is, wherever he can get to in his heart, that's where you meet him at.
Okay.
And then notice that maybe... Go ahead. Say it again.
I was just saying that makes sense.
Yeah. So, and it's also, you also want to check that, your fairy and playmate may also be used to avoid your deeper feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Of what's going on. And so, and so there may be something that he's sort of forcing you to kind of go deeper into and not make it, I don't know what your mom would have liked or what she asked for. This is a service or the funeral that you're going to?
I'm just going to pick up her remains and bring them back with me.
Okay. All right. And then you're going to have a service later.
Yeah, I think I'm going to have her buried at Arlington National Cemetery, so it's going to be a while.
Okay.
So that'll be...
Okay. All right, so in the meantime, you still got to do the healing with the family. And it sounds like... So what would your playmate do... and what would your fairy, who's magical, what kind of magic would the fairy create? And the playmate, what would that playmate do after, game went badly?
Well, make another game or another adventure from it, but only with him having fun, what he likes to do, that kind of a thing.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
All right.
Right. Exactly. It's just the playmate will always reach back out to play again.
Mm-hmm.
The playmate will never hold a grudge. It's like, what's the next game?
Mm-hmm.
And the game would be, I tried to make you play my game, and I got mad at you for not playing my game, and that's the shadow of the playmate.
Yeah. All right.
Right.
I know what to do.
So now it's just reach out and say, okay, yeah. Does that make sense?
Yes. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. But that's so, thank you so much, Jody. And yeah, call me on your way back. Okay?
Okay.
We can chat.
Yep.
All right.
Unless
okay.
I chat one time, and then I'll call you.
Bye. You what? Yeah, call me anytime. Call me anytime. I'm around.
More and I'll call you then.
Okay. All right. Okay. Bye, Jody.
Bye.
Okay. So for everybody, thank you, Jody, for that. This is how the chart works. When you do your work, you can really see, when you really understand, these pieces. And, then there's also a heart piece in this. And there's, and then there's how does she deliver it with the fifth chakra, and how does, all these different things. You can go into all the other ones as well. But the big one, obviously, in the family, especially around a mom, is going to be that first chakra. That's like everything just shifted. The ground just shifted under everybody in the family. And now everybody goes into their archetype, whether they know it or not. And so when you know your archetype, when you know your you know, your profile and your archetype and how you're going to, how you operate, choice making is a major choice. How do you make that choice? Well, you have to feel that quality within you and then ask yourself, it's like asking yourself, you know, what would my creative idealist do? But also, what if you knew, you know, that was your playmate in there? You know, so, you know, and I mean, my first chakra, you know, the spiritual leader, the spiritual taskmaster, the father, like that. And when my father died, you know, I set it up in a church and I played crystal bowls and I had just all these people that just knew my dad and they weren't spiritual at all. And we were, you know, putting energy into tennis balls, which my dad was a tennis pro his whole life and a teacher and a tennis pro. And we all put my dad's energy into these tennis balls and everybody took a tennis ball home with them. And it was like, and so I created this whole, you know, sort of like spiritual thing. And I didn't think twice about what I was doing. I thought it was like that was following that. And that became, you know, the way, and, you know, and that, you know, by being true to that, but I also took into account, you know, my brother and his needs and I talked to him about it and said, well, what do you think about this? And let's do, you know, so anyway, choice making in your life, that's a perfect example. Okay. So one more call here, and then we can start talking about some of these chakras. So Deborah, calling from Minnesota.
Yes. Hello.
Hey.
Can you hear me?
Hi. Yeah, I can.
Oh, hi. Okay. Yes. Good. Okay. So I was looking at the different child archetypes, and it seems like I can relate to several of the shadow ones. So abandonment is probably the biggest one, but there's some other that they seem to kind of cross over. I don't know, the inability to play, never feeling at home in any group for an adult and the lost child. So how do I narrow those down? Oh, and the other question is, So I only have the child archetype in one chakra. Is that
that's true? It. Or? Yep, one chakra.
Okay.
And,
so I gotta pick one
all
chakra.
Of the and all of the everybody could put their child archetype in their soul point. But we don't do that. Just because the child these what they call the survival archetypes, or we call the power archetypes, always are in the chakras. They're your like daily decision makers. So they got to be in there. So your child is in one of your seven chakras, and we'll sort of look at where that is. Now, with that said, that's one of the things I'm going to be changing on that sheet, which is you don't have to pick your child archetype. That was something Carolyn Mace was adamant about. We did it for years. It's still on that handout. But I think those are just good things to know, that those are some of the ways that the child archetype can appear. But the truth is that the child archetype, the child in each of us is really where you have all of your energy, right? Your enthusiasm, like the soul, like all of the energy you'll ever need to live your purpose comes through your child archetype. Okay? So the child archetype is the quality of your energy. Right, so it gives you the kind of energy you're going to use to live your purpose, and it has all of it. And yes, the child got wounded, and there are, you know, but before the child was wounded, it had an energy that was radiant. right? Whether it be incredibly soft, and I would say yours is likely to be really, really soft. And when you have that soft energy in a world that is as insane as our world, the wounding is powerful. And so you'll remember your vows will be to hide yourself, the wounded child, the lost child, all that stuff. But your soft energy is the power, is the real energy you have to live your purpose. And when you choose your child, I want you to choose the child that you remember in your secret place. Okay, that's the energy of your child. And if you don't have a secret place, make one up. Find that place in you. Find that feeling that you've had in your life. That's just like, I just love, it's just, I'm just full, radiant. And radiant for a charismatic leader can be big and bigger than the universe. And radiant for an emotional intelligence specialist can be, a tiny little kitty, right? It doesn't have to be, but it's just like this truth. When you pick up a little baby or a kitten or Marcella's son has a little like Russian guinea pig. The thing is like 2.5 inches long, and it's white, and it's so cute. Just holding it makes you just melt, okay? That's its purpose. It's not going to do anything with that energy. I mean, it's just this energy. It just has this, it just radiates this truth. That's what's nice about animals is they don't have a filter for their truth until you beat it out of them, or you scare it out of them, or you don't feed them, or whatever it is. But they basically... They are their one thing. Our vows have told us that, and our inability to know, sort of, or look deeply inside of ourselves because nobody else we knew ever did. Sort of vow that we make to not be who we are, that's actually our God quality. We can choose to be whatever we want to choose to be. And one choice leaves us able to make infinite choices in our lives because we have all the energy, all the consciousness. We know, and then we get to the next most powerful one is the saboteur, which is, okay, so I have all this energy, and it has this very specific frequency that it works at. I speak a certain way, I act a certain way, I love a certain way, I think a certain way, whatever my gifts are. And when I hold back and I vow against my energy and I don't have enough energy, I'm going to sabotage. I'm not going to see myself as being a person or that thing being worthwhile doing. I'm going to reject that quality within me. So the child archetype is, and for everybody, you do not have to pick, in the second year, you do not have to pick your child archetype. That's done. We don't do that anymore. Because it doesn't actually, it's just silly to do that. The truth is that there's no child archetype. You have to name your child archetype. And so in the second year, you just put your child archetype. It's like, that's my energy, my child. That's where I have my most exuberant enthusiasm for life. That goes in that chakra. And so whatever chakra it is that you feel that in, and yours is probably going to be in the heart, or the second chakra or something soft, maybe it could be in the first chakra, but it's just going to be, it's like, there's this sort of like a foundational kind of like softness for you. Does that make sense? A child. And it's a soft, it's a very gentle child. And then, but in the third year, you're going to name it something. It's going to have that, like Jody was saying, the playmate, what kind of child is that? Okay. You don't have to pick it the second year. Just know that that's the energy that you run whatever chakra it's in. So my child is in my sixth chakra, and it is, this total exuberance for my ideas. I think stuff and it's just like, oh my God. And it gives me infinite amounts of pleasure to think it to just like, and it just fills my whole body with energy. As soon as I have an idea that's like, oh yeah, that's it. Like this whole idea that these 7,000 healing modalities in the world are not here to teach people how to be healers. It's here to teach people what their healing modality, what their own healing modality is. If there's 7,000 different ones, then now you don't, now it's not like, see, when I was growing up, it was either the doctor or you were like a nut job and you would go to acupuncture, right? And that was pretty much it. Maybe if you were really crazy, you'd go to a chiropractor. And then if you were completely out of your mind, you'd do Reiki, right? Or something like that. Because that was around back then, but it was only for the really fringe people, right? And so becoming a healing type person or seeing your healing quality in your life wasn't even an option. Healers were just, they were just business people. They were just people that just did, they were in the business of healing. And there was only like, and you only could get it in like three different ways. And so in the last 20 years, we now have access to over 7,000 healing modalities from all around the world. You can learn them, right? You can learn them. And you can stay in that same archetype that healing's a job. Or you can say, oh, these healings aren't supposed to teach me to be a healer. There's like, you know, there's probably only maybe 10,000 people on the entire planet that are supposed to be shamans and healers. But those healings open the doorway, open the chakras. That's what they do. So if I practice those healings and work with those healings, I will learn how to access my soul's purpose. And every soul is here to heal something in the world, heal and take their part. So when I thought of that, I was like, oh my God, that made me so excited. You know, it's just like, I'm up for days, like run, vroom, 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 vroom. You know, it's like, wow, and that leads to this, and that leads to this idea, and that leads to that. And I've been writing now for weeks on these things that I'm going to, you know, talk about, like, why is healing different at the Reese Helms Institute than anywhere else in the world? Nobody else thinks this way. Everybody thinks that healing's a job. Everybody's trying to teach you to be a healer. Because there and whatever healing modality you learn, that makes you a healer, right? And it doesn't. It doesn't. What makes you a healer is when you access your one deliverable, the one thing we're after in the program. We use healing work, and by the way, all the healing work we do in the school is like, it's like 30 different healings in one, right? We're synthesizing massive healing modalities into one thing for each of the chakras, so you really develop that ability to open that up within you, and then recognize that the way you would do that in other people is unique to you, and that's your healing modality. So anyway, I digress there a little bit, but that's the child archetype. Where do you get your enthusiasm? What makes you the most happy? So why don't you just tell me, Deborah, what makes you the most happy? What's the thing that you were just like, I love that more than anything else in the world?
Well, I guess I would have to say singing, I guess. That's pretty much what I keep going back to. We have this place where we go. It's a country jam. And the audience there is just so loving and wonderful, and it just seemed to it's a wonderful place to practice my singing and let myself out, really. It's been amazing, and they just I don't know, somehow they just in fact, the one table there, they call me Cupcake from Little Debbie Cupcake. So they see in me.
Perfect.
When I'm up there singing.
Okay.
And I'm going, I think that's just great. That's wonderful. That's what they see.
Okay. All right. So as we're using you as an example here, and other people would be saying, okay. So my question for you would be, do you feel that way every time you sing or just when you're with them?
Pretty much every time. Yeah.
Yeah.
pretty much.
I know you're describing it. That they see, that they call you Cupcake, and you're with them, and your singing allows you to connect with them. So my question would be, is it really your fifth chakra? Is the child sort of like that playful, loving thing, just the voice? You know, just like anytime I sing, I'm just like, I'm in my world. Or is it in your heart where you, when you sing with people, you allow yourself to be that cupcake. You allow yourself to be that softer, more gentle, and more open, and they meet you there.
That's a good question.
So I want you to think about that, because that's going to be the placement on that is going to be important, right?
Yeah.
What's the motive? Where do you actually get the deepest level of, do you get it from being that in love and connected and gentle and, you know, cupcake? Well, it's a child. The child with other children, souls are all playing. And one of the things you do when you're playing like that is sing. Or do you just, you know, when you're just in your house, just you just sing. You sing constantly, and it just makes you, and every time you do it, you're just on, you know, like you're totally filled with energy. So
I have to watch myself at work. Sometimes I just hum, but sometimes I will just start singing. I'm in an office by myself, and they're probably used to it. But I do. I would just break out in song. I've had to put a lid on it sometimes. But I will. I'll just break out in a song. I wake up in the morning with a song. I'm like, oh, yeah, those are the words. And so,
nice.
So maybe
okay.
this
well,
is
well, I mean, yeah. stick it in the fifth chakra for now. Stick your child in the fifth chakra, and that's a great place to start. Okay?
Yeah.
All right. We need to keep going here. All right, Deborah.
Yep.
You're welcome. All right. So, let's just do this. Let's just go through chakras, one through three. And, remember that, you want to be listening to Language of the Archetypes, and, you know, those are great, or reading Sacred Contracts, and looking at the four, placing your 12 major archetypes, get them in your gateways, picking lots of archetypes, that might match up with you. And then we're going to see which ones might fit in the, you know, in the first chakra. So, or second chakra, third chakra, you know, coming next time, it's going to be 4 through 7. And for those of you that are in the third year, I want you to make sure that you are, you know, looking at the archetypes that we put in there last year and, you know, really sort of, what would even, you know, if it's a bigger archetype like the warrior, what kind of warrior are you? You know, and you may even get down to, you know, that warrior is more of a game player rather than an actual warrior. You like to compete more than actually, you know, be a warrior or whatever. So you have to kind of whittle those things down. So the first chakra, so you want to be looking at the first chakra archetype is going to be the archetype, of how you parent your children. How do you manage? So it doesn't have to be a mother or a father or a parent. Mine happens to be the father, which then I renamed in the third year. So after I knew it was sort of like the father archetype in there. But it really, I'm not really a fatherly father. I'm more of like a spiritual taskmaster. I'm more like a, what we call the magus, where it's like a spiritual, guide.
And I was that way with my own kids. It was sort of like I was less the guy that was out there, taking them to the baseball game, and much more the one who was like, no, this is what you're capable of. This is what you're doing. You got to be, you know, so that's sort of like that person. So how do you operate in family? And then also, then it's also your presence in the world. What kind of presence do you have that creates? And how do you create family? How do you do that? How do you build your business? And so the basic archetypes in the first chakra can be any. You could be a parent of mother, father, or a fairy godmother. It can be companion, caretaker, servant. How do you do that? And or are you a thief where you're constantly stealing money from your family? So are you more like a thief or a freeloader, right? In that. And you gotta kinda call yourself out on some of these negative ones too, because those can be, even if it's a negative trait, there's no negative archetypes, right? There's every archetype has got real power in it. So the freeloader, or the thief, they are going to be, if they're in the family, they're the ones that just don't play along. They're the ones that aren't going to play along with this. Oh, you have to serve the family. So that quality of, sort of letting the family serve you, maybe for all of the super slaves in the family, you are the one that sort of reminds them and says, take it easy here. Let someone else do it this time. Helping them. And, if that's the truth for you. If you love in the family, there's the lover, there's the confidant, there's the child, the good girl, the bad girl, a lot of good girls and bad girls in the first chakra. It's sort of how you sort of like, your presence in the, if you're a resistor, if you're a battler, the anarchist or the bitch or the bully, those can also be, part of in the shadow of the first chakra. And if you're defenders of the family, the advocate, the warrior, the rebel, and then there's the first chakra is also around business. It's around how do you do business. So it could be the CEO, the chief, the competitor, the achiever, the genius, that type of thing. It's the magnet, right? It's the physical magnet. So how do you magnetize people to you, places, situations, are you lucky? Are you, some sort of good luck charm in there? And how do you, deal with stuff, right? Because first chakra is all your stuff. And so, are you, a hobo, a vagabond? Are you, the Midas? Are you, what is that? What that may be down there in that first chakra. What kind of a, it can also be, your job, in life, and first chakra can be very much like what you do and how you manage things. And you may manage family and operate and work, as an engineer or a mechanic or a teacher, facilitator, foreman, inventor, nurse, boss, those sorts of things, banker, what's that quality in there? And have you, maybe you always handled the finances for your family. Maybe you always kept your parents from overspending money. And that was your, financial analyst or your banker, energy that's in there. So the other element of the first chakra, the shadow element, and the shadow element is really the negative pleasure, of the archetype. And so you can have the victim, the wounded child, the brat, the dictator, the seducer, the dramatist, these are all possible ways, the hermit, the seeker, the vagabond, the gypsy, the wanderer. These are all kind of like reject the world. And if you're selling out who you are, so the more the prostitute one can be the prostitute, the saboteur, the flip-flopper. If you're an authority, type person in there, the warrior, the ruler, the king or the queen in the first chakra. So these are all sort of like really foundational ways that you operate in the world of people and in relationships. Okay, so those are the archetype. Those are just some examples of archetypes in there, that may go in the first chakra. And if you don't have any attachments, you can be sort of the priest or the nun or the beggar, or any type of a resistor type of thing. I don't hang on anything. Or if you're a real collector, you could be the, the shadow quality of, needing more. You got to win all the time. You have to have money. You have to be a CEO, or you've got the glutton or the leader, the perfectionist or the hoarder. Those sorts of things all are first chakra as well when you're thinking about energy that way. So that's chakra one, and you want to really be putting something in there that really establishes that. The way you operate in the world of family, business, relationships, because your first chakra is your presence in society. The physical life purpose point, which we're not really going to deal with right today, we'll do that in a couple of weeks. The physical life purpose point archetype has to do not with your how you fit into society, which is the first chakra, but literally why you exist in the universe, right? So there's like a point of existence that the universe said, I need you to do this, do it. And saying, do it all the time. It's like, you are that. It's something that you just can't stop being. Whereas your place in society has to do with all of the things you're here to do within that and how you operate around family, and almost always your family, had that energy and you had to play that in your family. So how you operated in your family, very good. What your vow was, what your freedom statement was in there, help a lot with getting that archetype. Okay, second chakra. So it's like your emotional bandwidth and where you give and receive pleasure. And so I know I had... I talked about a few on the audios, but basically there's the enchantress or the hedonist, the dramatist. What are those emotional things that you do? Second chakra is all about pleasure and feeling and sense state and all of that. And so how do you do that? Are you the gourmet? Are you the mermaid? Are you the nervous Nelly? Are you the virgin or the wimp or the whiner? Or are you the robot? You have no feelings. Or are you the exhibitionist or there was one on the sheet, the funny diva. Are you a gigolo? Are you a glutton? Are you really miserly about your emotions? Or are you a joyologist? Now, these are all second chakra types of archetypes.
And then what's we have there for the second chakra? I think that's plenty in there for the second chakra. The so I guess the other element of the second chakra is that second chakra is the chakra where you wrestle with the world, right? It's the place where the second chakra is where you're getting your personal needs met from someone else. So it's the one-on-one relationships that you have with other people and how you get your needs met in those relationships. And so you can also kind of see, what you're asking for. And you can also see kind of like who you're in relationship with, who are you constantly trying to get things from. And, you know, if you're, the slave, if there's someone in the second chakra that you're always in, you're always trying to do whatever they're telling you to do. You're trying to do that. You've got like a master and you're like, well, a slave, you know, slave archetype. It's like, I'm just doing whatever I'm told in there. I act the way I feel that way. Goddess needs a god. These are relationships. Who are you in relationship with? Who do you always find that you're trying to get your needs met from? And so ultimately, what are those needs? And that's an archetype in there. Second chakra can also be, sort of understanding that, a victim always needs rescuers. You know, you have that those relationships. Students always are going to be, if you got the student in there, students always find teachers. So that's sort of like that relationship. There's that balance in that relationship back and forth. And then the shadow element of the second chakra, where it's sort of like the neediest sort of element of the chakra, you can have the beggar, the coward, the victim, or it's like super controlling and needy and underhanded. So it's the predator or the manipulator or the vampire or the tyrant or the thief, or the seducer, the manipulator or the addict. Or it can be the party girl, the party boy, party girl. And it can be the drama mama or the certainly victim and prostitute are very popular in the second chakra. It's a big, emotions are a big, are very often, sold out, in the prostitute or how you were victimized through, or either you victimized or victim or are victimized, by others through emotion. So that's the second, chakra. Those are typical ones in there. So you're really looking for whatever, however you manage your emotions in your life and manage your sort of like your sense of identity in the world, those are going to be your second chakra. And then we'll finish up here with the third chakra. So the third chakra is the discipline archetype it's the center of your of vows in a way, like what you your vows are automatic responses to life, and it's kind of like how do you discipline being yourself and doing what you're supposed to be doing in the world. It's where you take the action. It's where you're doing all the time or being who you are. And so what is it? What's that thing that you do all the time? Are you an athlete? Do you always go out and work out? Do you always do that? What's the action of your life? Do you always mother people? Are you the person, the actions that you take, Are you like a, you know, we talked about the slacker before, the, you know, that's what, you know, or are you more like a meditator, like a monk or a nun, you know, where you're more sort of withdrawn and you're not super out there action wise. You know, what do you do in your life? And you know, are you an actor? And keep in mind that when you pick an archetype for your third chakra, you're doing it. Okay, so if you put athlete in there and you didn't work out today, take it out. Right? Or if you didn't think about working out today, you weren't like wishing you had worked out today, or you didn't like while you were at your desk, you know, you're doing leg lifts or doing something like that. You're doing it. If it's in your third chakra, you're doing it all the time. You're never not doing it. So don't pick something that you're not doing, you know. So if you're, if you're an actor, if you put an actor in there, but you're not ever up on stage, you're not an actor. Okay. I mean, you might be the actor, but then you got to see, oh yeah, I acted at work. I was acting here. I was lying about that. I was, you know, all this sort of stuff. So, artists, if you're an artist, you're painting constantly. You're doing something. You're doing some sort of art. You're sculpting, you're painting, you're selling art. You're doing that. If you're an attention whore, you are getting attention. Right. So it's important to look at that. So heroes are literally, you know, they can't help themselves. They're jumping in where they don't belong, or, you know, and jumping in where they do belong sometimes. Avengers are avenging themselves on people. If you're a professional, you are holding other people to a high standard. If you're, you know, a protector, you're a cop, right? If you're a king or a queen, you've got people, you've got minions. If you're, a Boy Scout or a Girl Scout, you are, you're good and helpful and helping people cross the walk and doing the right thing all the time. If you're a sidekick, everywhere you go, you're helping someone else out, and it's never about you, right? So think about the fact that your third chakra archetype is just what you do all day long. And it's not a job. It's not a job. It's a way of sort of operating within that job. And maybe you look and say, well, I always do the same thing. And that's just, and by the way, as you're realizing these things that you always do, in each of these archetypes in your system, they're leading, putting them all together, and each one of these is dovetailing with the other ones to create this sort of like one deliverable that we talk about. So the third chakra, the shadow of the third chakra, is the one that you tend to hold back and play the smallest, or hide from. It's like, so the shadow of that archetype, and you can have shadow archetypes in there, that sort of work in that way. You know, they're the perfectionist, the addict or the doormat, right? The wimp, the nerd, the ruler, the devil's advocate, right? The dragon lady, the anarchist, the bully. You know, these are all the sort of more like shadow archetypes in there, and you have to have shadow archetypes in there if you're going to be doing your work. On these archetypes, you got to make sure you've got some that you're like, yeah, I do that. I gotta put that in there. But the shadow side of some of these archetypes, like the artist isn't painting. You know, the athlete who's letting themselves get overweight, you know, because they're angry, or, you know, they didn't win a competition, so they're punishing themselves or something, you know, for not doing it. Or the bad boy or the bad girl who's pretending that they're good, right? So it's like that, the ambassador who only represents their own interests. So it's like the shadow of those actions can also, you know, be, you know, you can kind of see those types of things. So, so I think that that's a good place to finish up here. The, I just want to remind everybody, that, summer retreat's coming up. If you haven't signed up for it, it's time. We still have got room there. We got a great place where it's half the price that it was in the previous years. We got a great deal, and you know, and the college that we're going to have, Bryant College, is beautiful, and we should have a blast. We're going to do tons of healing and tons of you know, meditations and playing games, and you know, it's really fun. So I think we just lost. We might have just lost the. Let me refresh here. Nope. Somehow my computer just went down for a second. Anyway, so thank you everybody for being on here. If anybody has, I can stay on for a few more minutes. If anybody has a question about any of the things that we went over or other archetypes, I'm happy to take two more questions. So you can raise your hand, star two. If not, we're going to wrap up and call it an evening, because it is 2:15 in the morning over here in Spain. So this is our normal time we go to bed, but it's definitely getting to be that time. So, all right, so nobody raised their hand. So you guys totally rock. Hopefully I'll see many of you, if not all of you, at the summer retreat. And reach out to your classmates, those that didn't, you know, talk to them about your chart and playing and all that sort of stuff. And I'm going to unmute everybody for a second. Just say goodbye. All right, everybody. Bye.
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 Thank you. Have a good night.
Bye-bye. See you in a couple of weeks.